Good morning.
Morning. Hi.
Hello. Thank you. You want to, in your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts and chapter 15. I've got to live up to the 15, 20 minute deadline now, haven't I? I'm looking where there's a 10 past 11. Thank you very much. You'll be my check on that. There we go. Phone up there. 8 minutes past. You bought me 2 more minutes. Thank you very much. Acts 15 and the first verse. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you can't be saved. Hey guys, thank God for the gospel and the reality of that, eh? Yes. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some of the other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and the elders about the question. And verse 6, the apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and he addressed them. Brothers, you know some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. Verse 12 says, the whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the wonders and signs that God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they'd finished, James spoke up. Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. You might think that's quite a strange passage to be reading, which it is in some ways, but it gives us a context. The context is what they end up calling the Council of Jerusalem, and it meets together to discuss and debate a position on what do you do when you become a Christian. Do you have to take on board Jewish traditions and instructions and commands as well as the life of Christ to really become a true disciple and follower? And the person that we meet in this passage that is the context person for us is the person James. And James is by then an elder in the church, a respected leader in the church. But he's got a very interesting history. James, and I'll give you references if you want to check me out rather than reading them. James is probably, this James is the half-brother of Jesus. Matthew 13, 53 to 55, if you want to have a look at that. And not a believer initially. He grows up in the family of Jesus, but yet doesn't follow him. Doesn't really probably become a believer until after the death of Jesus. Well, that's John 7, 5, 1 Corinthians 15 and 7, if you want to have a look. I find that interesting as a context, because it speaks to those of us if we have family members who aren't following Christ. Because the perfect Son of God, even some of those in his close family, don't follow him. They've seen the best example that there ever is, but have still chosen not to be a follower. And I want to say that to maybe some of you, if you're parents, that sometimes there's a guilt that we can carry if our children, if those close to us, don't follow Christ. And I want to say here's the remarkable thing, that all of us have got free choice. And even with the best example ever, James makes initially a different choice. And I hope if that is a guilt issue for you, I hope that little bit of thought in Scripture frees you to some extent from a guilt that you might carry. It's an encouragement for those families. And we find that James becomes and is referenced by Paul as a pillar in the church. So at some point after the death of Jesus, James comes to faith and becomes a key leader, a leader in that founding church in Jerusalem. That time when he's leading church is a time of famine, poverty, persecution, difficulty. And some of us, sometimes we forget, sometimes we we sort of, you know, we like the bits of the New Testament that are all about growth and signs and wonders and the dramatic, you know, 3,000 people get saved here and there and all of this, and Antioch where the church exploded. The context here is a time of difficulty, opposition and persecution. It's not always easy being a follower. It's not always easy being part of church. But James rises to become a leader in that particular time. That's just context. I want us to look at one particular verse in the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse 21. I think I've probably said to you before, I'm an ex-secondary school teacher. I have very, very limited hope on what people walk away from with a 20-minute sermon. So I have one word that I hope you walk away with today. And if you take that away with you and it resonates remotely tomorrow, then I'm going to celebrate and feel I've done my job. James chapter 1 and verse 21 says this, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent." You might think he's gone from one weird text to another one. Look at the second half. "And humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." That's the verse, the half verse I want to focus on. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And the word I want you to take away there is about acceptance. Humbly accept. What does it mean for us to accept the word of God? James is an interesting book. It focuses on not just being hearers of the word, but doers. It focuses on how to persevere, how to live life effectively and successfully, how to thrive, how to flourish, how to endure, how God shapes our character and develops us through our walk. It refers to being made whole, being made perfect, being made complete. And one of the ways that God does that, one of the things that he uses in our lives, is the word that has been implanted in us. And it's whether and how we actually accept that word that then brings about the real fruit that is possible. Accept the word planted in you, which is capable, which can save you. The Passion Translation says, "With a sensitive spirit, we absorb God's word, which has been implanted within our nature. For the word of life has power to continually deliver us." Amplified says, "Get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts, contains the power to save your souls." Accept, absorb, receive, welcome. Now, God's word that has been implanted in all of our hearts has already saved you. There's the three stages that we're probably all very familiar with, that actually God's word eternally transforms your destiny. And that when you respond and surrender to the gospel, that you are saved and nothing can separate you from the love of God, and the deal is done. You are saved. You're justified. But in the same word, in the same understanding, there is an understanding of being saved. And that every day that you are being sanctified by God's Spirit, you are being made holy. You are being made like Christ. You are saved, you're being saved, and you will eternally be glorified. You'll be taken to heaven, you'll be with Jesus. That's all part of that salvation word. God's implanted word has the power to save you. Yes, it saved you eternally, once and done, but it's sanctifying you, it's changing you. That implanted word is what is going to transform your life from one degree of glory to another. It's the thing that is going to make you like Christ, that's going to empower you, change you. Now, the challenge is never in the word. That implanted word is perfect. In the illustrations that Jesus uses when he teaches his parables, he talks about seed. And the seed is the word of God, and that seed is perfect. That seed is capable of producing 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold fruit in our lives. The problem's never with the seed. The challenge is with the soil. So there's rocky stuff. That seed's not effective. There's good soil where the seed is 30, 60, and 100-fold. There is soil where the cares of the world choke the seed. The question is not about the seed. The question is about the ground. And here's the same kind of image, the same message put slightly differently. It's not about whether that implanted word works. It's whether we will accept, receive, welcome that implanted word. Accepting, absorbing, receiving. I reckon I was doing a rough bit of maths. I've been a Christian for 55 years, and you're supposed to go, he doesn't look that old. Oh, yes, he does. Yeah, I know. Actually, I was coming home from a thing at BCC the other day, an Elim thing, and I sat on the train, and there was nobody else in the train, and they had CCTV cameras. And I was looking at the image of the person in the CCTV image, and I'm thinking, God, who's that old bloke with a big bald patch? And I realised it was me. Yeah, it's depressing. And I reckon in those 54 years, I've listened to over 5,000 sermons. That's a lot of time. How many of them have I absorbed? How many of them have I embedded? How many of them have I welcomed? How many of them have I received? As I walk with Jesus daily and I come to his word, how much is that just sort of, you know, routine? How much is that sort of, you know, sort of evangelical guilt? Where you think, I've got to do my 10-minute quiet time, and you walk away and you have no idea what on earth it was about. How much of that have I accepted and received and absorbed and have embedded? How much of that has taken root in my heart? Because if it has, that implanted word is capable of saving me, of seeing me transformed on a day-by-day-by-day basis. The question's not in the implanted word or the seed. The question is the soil and whether I accept that implanted word. Now, if you haven't discovered already, I'm moderately stupid. And here comes one of my stupid little acts. So I have now two dodgy shoulders. The first one, I'm out walking and my neighbour has a little puppy and the puppy's escaped. And she's saying, quick, help, stop the puppy. So I turned round rather rapidly. I lose my balance. I fall on my shoulder. Great. My second stupid act was I go to Aldi. Now, that's not a stupid act in itself, and unless you're in Waitrose, darling. And if you are, we'll talk afterwards. We'll take the offering again, John, if you're in Waitrose. I go to the loo in Aldi. My wife was convinced there was no toilets in Aldi. There are toilets in Aldi. That's useful information for you. And I go to the loo, and then I try and get out of the door, and the door's jammed. And so I take my good shoulder, my left shoulder, not my bad shoulder that I've already fallen on. I take my good shoulder, and I put the weight of my good shoulder into the door, as you do. And it doesn't shift. I look to the right and I see there's a big green button. You press the big green button and the door opens. So my good shoulder is now my bad shoulder, because I hurt my good shoulder more than I hurt my bad shoulder when I went to the loo in Aldi. I told you I'm stupid. And eventually I give in and decide that I have to go to get some physio. And God bless Milton Keynes Hospital. They have a lovely self-referring system. So I go and I see the physio, and he gives me some exercises to do, and he gives me one of these. A resistance band, yeah? Some of you are familiar with them. And you wrap it round and you do this. And a few days or weeks or months later, it gets stronger and it gets better. It hasn't worked. Anybody, any idea why? I haven't done, I didn't do it right. I haven't done it at all. You see, it's shocking, isn't it? I've got the right tools. I've seen the physio. I've heard the words. I've accepted the band. But have I really? Have I really accepted that? I've only really accepted it when I become a doer as well as a hearer. When I take this, and every day I have actually got better the last couple of weeks. I'm disciplining myself to do it. But to really be accepting, I've got to do it. I've got to implement it. And the challenge with God's word, that beautiful implanted word put into your life and into my life, as God has drawn you by his spirit, he's put something inside you and he's given something to you in his word that is capable of saving your soul. You are eternally saved, you will be eternally saved, but that process of sanctification, that process of making you and I more like Jesus, depends on us accepting the word. Accept it, welcome it, embed it. My wife's a very keen gardener, and we moved into a new house about 5 years ago. And the lovely builders, you know, they scattered about 15 tons of bricks and three seeds, grass seeds, and then they call it a garden. So we had to do a bit of work on that. And my approach to gardening is this, you know, I want to get on it, get it done on Saturday, and then it's all finished. So I go out, I'll buy the grass seed, I'll buy whatever plants are on offer. I don't work out, which plants are the tall ones. I don't work out which needs sun and which. I just work out what's cheap and on offer. I buy it, I plant it immediately and stand back and hope. It hasn't worked very well like that in the past. My wife's approach is much better, basically. So what she does is she gets a bit of string and she marks out where the lawn's going to go. And then she'll go to the garden centre and she'll work out what's sun and shade and she'll buy the plants. She doesn't put them in. She takes them home. She leaves them for a week where she thinks they'll be okay. And then she moves them around and all. And we have a gorgeous garden now. But every week she's out there and she's weeding. She's pulling out things. She's helping these things grow. She's tending that kind of garden. Because it needs that weekly work. And my life needs that too, and so does yours. And part of our accepting, part of our seeing that word really fruitful in our lives is pulling up the weeds. You know the habits that we get used to a bit sometimes? Maybe they're things, oh, that's just me. That's a weed maybe that needs pulling up. And in that gardening, that part of that receiving and accepting, then the flowers and the plants begin to grow. But it needs ongoing work. And for your life and my life to be everything that God wants it to be, for his word to be 30-fold. I'm fascinated by that bit of scripture. The worst it can be in good soil is 30-fold. I'd be pretty grateful for 30-fold. It's not bad, is it? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It needs the pulling up of the weeds. It needs that gardening, it needs that welcoming, it needs that embedding, it needs that receiving, because that implanted word is capable of saving your soul. Will you accept? Will you do a bit of gardening? Will you receive? Will you embed? Will you come to God's word with a level that says, Lord, actually, Lord, open my heart. Lord, I give you my focus. I give you my attention. I'm going to treat this thing that people died for, really seriously, because it's got the potential to save your soul, to make you like Jesus, to cause you to be sanctified, and for everything that he wants to be done in our lives. Let's pray. One simple little word, accept. Will you accept the word planted in you, which is capable of saving your soul? So Lord, I pray today, Lord, that you will, even in our little time, that you will take your word and you will cause my bits to fall away, and that your truth, Lord, will find a resting place. It will be embedded in our hearts, and it will draw us, Lord, to the beauty of your word. And thank you, Lord, that your purpose in all of us is to sanctify us, to make us like Jesus. And I pray that that implanted word in every one of our lives will be accepted, absorbed, and embedded so that we look more and more like you every day. Amen.